All three of my kids are mad at me right now. For like completely different, unrelated reasons. All three are mad at me right now. For those of you who struggle with math, that means that 100% of my children are angry with me right now. And you know what? I don't care. I don't care. You know why? Because I am not their buddy. I am their parent. They are angry at me because I parented them. My number one job as their parent is to love them. And loving them does not mean making sure they're always happy and get every single little thing they want. Loving them means raising them into healthy, decent human beings who I would actually want to hang out with someday. That's what loving them means. Until my kids are adults, I am not their friend. We are not on the same level. I'm the authority. My child's well-being is more important to me than my child's opinion of me. My job is not to be liked by my kid, and I don't take it personally when my kid doesn't like me. And honestly, if my kids like me 100% of the time, I'm probably failing at parenting. So listen, parents. I know this parenting thing is really, 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 really hard. I know. And I know you're trying to do the right thing, and you're trying to be strict when it's necessary, and then your child gets upset at you, and then you give in. Don't do that. Don't give in. Hold your ground. And I hear some of you parents say things like, oh, my little kid is my best friend. That sounds really cute and all, but let's just be honest. If you're like 30, 40 something, and your best friend is an 8-year-old, like that's just weird. That's weird. Don't be so insecure and desperate for your kid to always like you. Parent your child and then find friends your own age. Now here's the good news. If you're trying to do the right thing and parent your children, them not liking you is not terminal. It's not gonna last forever. You know what's terminal? Them turning into entitled, bratty adults the rest of the world now has to deal with. That's terminal. But them not liking you, that's not gonna last forever. And I have some more good news. At least one brand of ice cream at your grocery store right now is on sale. So go get it.
Anybody else want ice cream right now? Or maybe a wine milkshake like she made there? A little odd, a little sassy, but parenting is hard, right? I mean, I've felt that, and it's difficult. And so when your child might be upset with you because you said, hey, you can't play with knives, okay, you're a good parent, or you can't stay up to 12 o'clock every night or till you fall asleep, or you can't just eat candy all the time, they might get mad at you once in a while. That's okay. That's not what Scripture is talking about, okay? We're supposed to be good parents that love them well. Right? That's our job, to love them and to love them well. And so when we look at them, we say, I can't let you do this, even though it might make you happy in this moment. It's not going to make you the person that God has designed you to be. So it's not being a good parent, but there are some things that we might be doing accidentally sometimes, or maybe intentionally, that might make us be exasperating our children. So let's look at this word. What does it mean? It means to anger or to infuriate. It also could mean to annoy or irritate. I think I annoy my kids all the time. I like to tickle them. And so I have to think about this a little bit. But to really annoy or to irritate them, or to it even means to drive them mad, right? Are you driving your kids mad? Now, this sounds terrible, so none of us want to do that, right? We don't want to drive our kids mad or annoy them or make them infuriated. But there are some ways that we might be doing this unintentionally. So here's just a short list of five ways that we might be exasperating our children. Number one, being harsh in our punishments or overly strict. I think we really need to be careful about making sure that the punishment fits the crime, right? I remember being a kid and thinking about how I got punished, and I think very differently of it now than I did then. Most people in my life would just take away the thing that I loved the best. Right? If I did something wrong, they'd be like, well, no basketball for you, because I love playing basketball. I'm like, that's not fair. Like, what is the punishment supposed to be for this? And now I know that parents do that and authority figures do that when they think this is the only way I can get through to them. Like, I've tried all the other stuff and it's not working. I've given them timeouts. I've grounded them. I've taken away this or that or the other thing. This is the way. If they don't learn from this, they'll never learn. So I understand that there's different levels of punishment. But if I were to look at my 3-year-old son and you know, punish him for a month, no TV, because he did something wrong at the dinner table, that's just overly harsh, isn't it? Like, we follow a method that we want to stick to and be consistent with, and it works. I don't have to let my emotions and my anger dictate how I'm going to punish my children. And so it's always a wise idea to punish when you're not emotional, when you're not that angry or upset. For me, I always look at my wife and say, am I okay right now to do what I'm about to do? We just have this little communication there and say, okay, yes, I'm with you. Or if I'm getting too upset, we have like this tag team thing. I tap out. I can't deal with them. I'm about to lose it. Can you step in and help me with this one? And at first, that was really difficult. I wanted to do everything and do everything right. And then it took some humility and some self-awareness to say, you know what? I can't always do that. A five-year-old can make me so mad sometimes. And it's so frustrating. But thank God I have my wife that can help me. And vice versa. We help each other in that way. Overly strict. I don't want to be too overbearing with my children. They're kids. I tell my teenagers and the parents of my teenagers that I work with at Youth for Christ all the time, remember they're just kids. I know they're teenagers, they look like adults, they talk like adults, they want to be adults, but they're just kids. They're going to not get everything you say. They're going to make some mistakes. Don't be so strict with them. Number two, showing disrespect to your child or being disrespectful to your children. You know, I never thought about this before, but as I was reading through some of this, thinking, how could I be doing this? It might be correcting them in front of other people. It might be making fun of them. My wife, I love the way my children talk. They have like these cute voices, especially my middle son. He just talks like he's like a Brooklyn old lady sometimes. And I'm like, how do you have this voice? And so I mimic him all the time. And my wife's like, don't do that. And I'm like, well, it's just so funny. And she's like, he might become aware of that and like be self-conscious. Like, you can't do that. So we need to just be careful. They're young, impressionable minds. Am I doing anything that might be disrespecting them? Am I correcting them in front of people? Am I making fun of them in any way? We don't want to do that. Number three, comparing to others and or practicing favoritism. I was a good kid growing up. I really was. And I would hate when a parent would look at their child and say, can't you be more like Craig? It would break my heart for them. And then I can't imagine what it would do to them. And you don't want to be like me, blah, blah, blah. But we don't want to do those things to our kids. We want to love them. And we want them to know that we love them for who they are. We don't need to compare them to other people and try to let them strive to be like somebody else. I think that God created all of us uniquely. And I think what God wants to do in our life is perfect us. He doesn't want to change us. He doesn't want to make us somebody else. He just wants to perfect what he's doing in our life. And so whether we're a kid that we're parenting or whether we're just a human being looking at ourselves, God doesn't want to change you. He wants to perfect you. He wants to make you who you are. And so don't compare your children to others, and especially their siblings. It can be really difficult. I have someone on my staff, his name is Clay. He tells me all the time that one of my children, I won't tell you which one, is his favorite. And I say, well, I don't really have favorites. He goes, yes, you do. One of them you like more than the rest. And I go, no, I really don't. And I've really practiced hard to not think that way. They're all so different, and I love them so much. And I think most parents kind of get this. I just love them differently for the things that I love about them. It's not greater than or less than, and if it has become that, look deeply at how you're thinking about your kids. Look at that child that you say, oh, I wish he was more like so-and-so, and find the good in them, find the attraction to them, find the love that you have for them, because they're not becoming that other kid, okay? So don't try to force them to be that way. So comparing them to others or practicing favoritism, that just might drive that child crazy. It might drive them mad, it might make them angry, right? So number four. Constantly finding fault and having unrealistic expectations. Listen, we all want our kids to grow up to be well-behaved, but we want much more than that, don't we? I mean, is that the only goal we have, that they be well-behaved? There's so many times I look at my kids and I'm like, can you just do this right? Like, there's all day long I'm telling them to change things and do things, and then sometimes you just come to these things where you go, I can't. It's okay. Let's have fun with this. Let's just do something a little outside the box to have fun. And I'll talk about more than that. But if we're constantly looking for the fault in our children and not looking for the good in them, that's going to drive your kids mad. I mean, Think about it. If you had a boss that was only looking for the bad in you, wouldn't that drive you nuts? I mean, you'd complain all the time, or they were always finding the things you did wrong, and they never congratulated you for the things you did well. It would drive you nuts. If we have unrealistic expectations, like, and I've struggled with this one, to go, you see your kid do something really good, and you're like, they're going to be a professional athlete. Like, let's go, let's get them into training, or they're super smart, and so they're gonna be the next president, or whatever it is. Listen, I want you to have high, lofty dreams for your kids. But don't put so much pressure on them. Don't give them that weight that might crush any hope or dream that they might have. They're kids. Let them enjoy the things they're good at. Encourage them to be better at it, but let it make sure that it's fun and that it's enjoyable. And lastly, I would say this, and I've struggled with this one too, is don't have a double standard. And I'll give you just a quick example. If there's no electronics at the table, then I can't take my phone out at the table. And I sometimes sneak it under the table so they don't see. Well, guess what? They see. And they say, Dad, no electronics at the table. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Or they try to steal it from me when I pull it out, because if you're doing it, I can do it. But we do this in other areas of our life too. We tell them not to do something, but it's fine for us to do. Now, obviously, there are some situations where that's okay, right? But there's some that it's not, that we need to stick to it as a family rule. But this is something as a family we're not going to do. And then other things we say, well, this is a kid rule and adults are allowed to stay up later, or adults are allowed to eat those things or drink those things, right? And so we can make sure that we're not driving our kids nuts or making them angry by some of these things, okay? So just a little thing about that. But for parenting, it's really not about winning, okay? It's not about you getting your child to do what you want. And it's really not about us at all. Our job, like I said earlier, is to love them and to love them well. And what I think we really need to do is follow the example of our Heavenly Father, and which is really, really difficult. And I love this series that we're doing, you know, me loving you, loving me, loving you, because there's scripture in the Bible about parenting, but there's a lot more about how we should treat people, right? How we should love others and how that all works. And so every time you come across scripture, you can find some truth about other relationships in your life, and maybe even about parenting. I had a teacher in high school that became a good friend and mentor of mine, and he told me something once that I wasn't sure I agreed with at the time, but I do now. He said, if you are trying to follow God's rules, like, you can marry anybody and be happy. I was like, that doesn't make sense. Like, there's more to it than that. And he said, yes, there is more to it, but think about it. If I just followed the example of how God in Scripture tells us to treat others, if I just applied those things to how I treat my wife, wouldn't I have a happy marriage? I mean, wouldn't your marriage be successful if you just look at those principles? It's true, I think. And I think the same thing is true for parents looking at their children and children looking at their parents. If I looked at the things that Scripture said about loving others and praying for them and how to speak to them and how to treat them, and I just applied it to my family, our houses would be very successful, I think. I think of just 1 Corinthians 13, where it talks about love. Love is patient. Can we all be a little bit more patient with our parents? Can we all be a little bit more patient with our kids? Love is kind. I tell my kids all the time, speak kindly to each other. I have to learn to speak kindly to them, and I have to learn, even still as a grown-up child, to speak kindly to my parents sometimes. And we can go on and on, but today I'd just like to not go so far. I'd like to look at a scripture in Ephesians that might help us learn a few more things about this. This is Ephesians 3, just verses 1 through 3. And I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to kind of read it a little bit differently for you guys. It says, I urge you then, I who am a prisoner because I serve the Lord, live a life that measures up to the standards God set when he called you. Be always humble, gentle, and patient. Show your love by being tolerant with one another. Do your best to preserve the unity which the Spirit gives by means of peace that binds you together. Now, this is a great scripture about how we should treat other people. And if we apply this to our lives, we'll be better people and the people around us will like us more, right? But let me read it just a little bit differently to you today. That's really hard to see, isn't it? I'm going to look up here because I can't see it down there. It says, I urge you then, I who am a prisoner because I serve the Lord. This is Paul writing to the Ephesians. He's in prison, and he's writing this letter. Ephesians is a great book if you have time to read it. It's so concise, and there's a lot in there, and this is just a nugget of truth that we can live by. Live a life that measures up to the standard God set when he called you to be a parent. Be always humble and gentle and patient with your children. Show your love by being tolerant to them. Do your best to preserve the unity with your children, with the Spirit, which the Spirit gives by means of peace that binds you together. If we could just apply the truths of Scripture to our parenting or even vice versa, things would be so different. So let's look at a little bit of this. Living up to the standard that God set us as a parent. Man, I take a deep breath and think about God as our Father and go, I can never be that way. But I can try. I can look at the good things that God has done for us as our Heavenly Father, and I can try to be that way for my children, can't I? And I won't be completely successful with this, but I can try. And I really believe, and Pastor Greg sent me a great article. If anybody would like it, I'd be happy to send it to you, about parenting with mercy. Parenting with mercy and with grace. And we know as believers in Christ that God gave us so much grace, right? All of us have, or I hope so, and if you haven't, I'd love to talk to you more about that maybe after church. But all of us have seen what God has done for us and accepted the grace that he gives us. We all need grace. We're all sinners. Scripture tells us that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all failed, and we all need help. And yet God loved us so much. And he looked at every one of us and said, I love you so much that I'm not going to have you pay your own punishment for your sin. There will be a punishment, but I will send my own son, Jesus, to come to this earth, to die on the cross for you. Not because you deserve it, but simply because I love you. That's the mercy and grace that God gives us. And I hope everyone here, if you haven't received it already, will one day come to that understanding and receive that grace and mercy. Because as a parent, somebody who has received mercy and knows how much they need it, not just for my sin in my life, but every day I need God's mercies. And I'm so grateful that his mercies are new every day. That when I mess up or when I fail or when I yell at my kid or I anger them way too much, or I can go to God and say, Lord, forgive me. I need help. Give me your mercy. I don't deserve it, but because you're a good father and you give us all things, could you give me this? If I can parent like that, and I can now know that I receive so much grace and mercy from my Heavenly Father, I can give it to my children a little bit more easily, can I? This article was written by a guy named Paul David Tripp. He says this, no parent gives mercy better than the one who is convinced that they desperately need mercy themselves. I want to live up to the standard that God has set for me as a parent. I don't know how to do that all the time. I need his mercy and grace to be that way. But I need to show mercy and grace to my children. That's one way that I can do that. The second part of that scripture there was be always humble, gentle, and patient. I mean, that is just a recipe for a peaceful household, isn't it? Can't we all just be a little bit more humble? And this is interesting. They did a study on businesses, on good companies and great companies. And there's lots of great companies out there that are successful, and there's only a handful. They measured it out to be like five or so great companies that they were looking at compared to hundreds of good ones. And they said the missing ingredient from being a good company going to a great company was humility, that the leader had humility. I go, this is incredible. Everything I read about in Scripture tells me to be humble. And I know that everything that God tells me to do is for the best for me. It's not to push me down or to keep me low. It's because God wants us to live successful lives that he created us to live. And so this key ingredient could be a key factor in your home too, can it? To be humble as a parent, what does that mean? What does that look like? Can I look at my house and say, maybe I don't know everything. Maybe I can shift. Maybe I can learn from somebody else. Or maybe I can even learn from my child. Or maybe I can even learn from my parent who's older now. Maybe I need to have some humility in my life. Gentleness, I love this. If I can just speak more gently to my children, to my wife, to the people around us. If I could be a good example of that, maybe they'll speak more gently to each other. I work with kids. They're the meanest. They're so harsh. and so cruel. I literally have anxiety about sending my kids into public places sometimes because I know what kids are like to each other, and I want so desperately for my children not to be affected by that, to be strong enough to handle those words, but also to not be that way, to speak kindly and gently to each other. And I need to be a good example of that. And of course, patience. I mean, this is on my daily prayer request from God. Lord, let me be more patient. How many times you have to repeat yourself as a parent, right? Say thank you. Say please. Don't do that. Pick that up. Put that away. Clean that. Stop hitting him. Stop doing that. Stop saying that. Talk kindly. And I say those things thousands of times. I've been a parent for 5 years. I can't believe how many times I've repeated phrases. And if you know me, one of my pet peeves is just repeating myself. I hate repeating myself. And yet, God has given me a good lesson as being a parent. You need to be patient. They're kids. They're not going to get it the first time you say it. They might not get it the first 1,000 times you say it, right? They might not get it till they're adults. But don't give up. You might need to get a bowl of ice cream once in a while. But don't give up. Stay consistent. Ask for patience. And continue to be consistent and kind as you're giving those instructions. I love this one. It says, do your best to preserve the unity. I've seen so many parent-children relationships just destroyed, just hurt. And if I can give you one word of advice today, it would just be to stay in the conversation with your kids. Don't give up. Do anything you can to preserve the unity with your children, right? All you want to do is have the ability to speak truth into their life, right? So don't do things to destroy the opportunity to do that. And I've had this this chance as a youth pastor or a youth minister, campus life leader, to experience this with kids, right? Say a kid keeps breaking a rule at one of my campus life clubs. I will never, ever tell a kid they cannot come back anymore. It will never happen. I might give them a probation or tell them you gotta stay home for a week. And even if I do that, I say, you can't come for a month. But guess what? Every week on Wednesday after school, I'm going to pick you up and take you out for ice cream. And we're going to talk about this. I'm not going to just punish you so harshly that it destroys our relationship, right? And parents, as you're thinking about your kids, be very careful about the way you can treat them that might sever a relationship. Every time there's an opportunity, every time a kid disobeys or does something wrong or is not listening to you, don't look at it as something that can destroy your relationship. Look at it as something that can help you build a better one. Spend time there. Talk to them about it. Listen to them. Hear what they have to say. Do everything you can. And I know that God will help you with this because it's not really possible all the time by ourselves. And if you're in that situation where there has been a severed relationship, I'm so sorry. I know your heart breaks over that. I know that you were doing your best. Just try to reconcile that any way possible. That's God's heart. It's to reconcile relationships. That's why he sent Jesus to this earth, to make sure that we can be reconciled to him. And he looks at everything that's broken and wants to fix it. So if you have one of those situations in your life, do your best to reconcile it, fix it somehow, and take an opportunity to be humble and gentle and patient and build that relationship stronger because of that situation. Lastly, bring them up in Christian discipline and instruction. Listen, raising our children in the Lord is a heavy responsibility, and I would just want to encourage everyone here to take that responsibility seriously. I'm in ministry. I love the church. The church can be here as a help for you, but it is a help to you. It's not a replacement for what you are supposed to be doing. They have great resources. They have youth ministry and Sunday school, but don't let them be the ones that are teaching your children about God. Even more important, don't let the world be the ones that are teaching your children about sensitive topics. Be proactive. Be on the edge a little bit. Maybe a little bit earlier than you think is comfortable. Speak to your children about the things that you want them to know about God, right? Let them hear it from you first so that when they encounter it in the world, and they will encounter these things in the world, won't they? That they have a foundation. That they go, no, my mom talked to me about that already. My dad told me about this, and I know how to handle this. No matter how old they are, they're going to come across these things in this life that I hope that you're the first one to speak to them about it. And that when they hear about it, they're not embarrassed or ashamed to come speak to you more about it when they have questions or doubts. It could be really hard. It could be really difficult. But I want you to try just to be consistent with these things. And so lastly, I'll just give you a couple last things here that will be helpful as you go. Know that God's ways are best. You have to trust that in as you read Scripture and as you're teaching them Scripture, teach them that too, that God's ways are best. So trust God. If you're trying to control your children and get them to do what you want to do, you're never able to do that. It's impossible. So trust God's ways and trust God that He's going to work these things out in their life. That as you teach them, it might not blossom when you want it to, but Scripture promises us that it will. I'll also say this. There's sometimes that you need to just put the relationship above the rule. It could be in big things, but it can also be in minor things. When I was a kid, I had a bedtime, right? I would always go to bed, say 8 o'clock or something like that. But there were some special occasions. There was some Islander hockey games that happened in the 80s that were just tremendous. And my parents would let me stay up and watch them. I just had my boys watch, a heartbreaking Met game. Dom, I have to talk to you about that. You made a crucial mistake. Okay, you should have brought Kevin to that game. He's the good luck charm. But I let them stay up. And it was, you know, the next day was a little bit hard. They were tired and cranky. But I bend the rules because I want them to know they're more important to me than the rule. My relationship with my children is more important to me than the rules I've set for them. And God is this way too, and you might not think so, but let's think about it. God is this way. Didn't He say it was okay for David to eat the food that was sacrificed on the altar? Didn't Jesus heal on the Sabbath? He wasn't supposed to do that, but didn't He do that? Didn't He touch the leper? That was not just like, don't do that because you're going to get sick. That was unclean. That was sinful. You're not supposed to do that. But because He cared about them more than the rule, He went there and He did it. Didn't He eat with sinners? He wasn't supposed to do that. Over and over again, God puts us above the rules He has. The rules are made for us to be successful, not for us to follow the rules. And we need to remember that as parents sometimes. Listen, there's a lot I can say. And there's a lot more that could be said by somebody much more versed in parenting than me, for sure. But I would love for you today to think about the things that God says in Scripture, to how we should treat each other. Let's adopt that and bring it into our homes. Let's love our children well. Parents, love your children well. Kids, love your parents well. And let's just read, I just want to read one more Scripture and this will be closed. John 13:34-35 says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Let's begin in our homes doing this with each other. And as people look at us, loving each other in our homes this way, setting our standard to God's standard and doing our best, they're going to go, there's something different about them. What's happening there? How come they're so kind? How can they be so patient? How come? And it's just an opportunity for you to say, it's not because of anything that is in me, but because Jesus is in me. Let me tell you about Him. He's been a huge help. He's changed my life. Let that be the way we approach all this. Let's pray today. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for each person that is in this room, whether we're children or parents or both. I pray that we would have learned something that could be helpful today. And that we would take this as a serious responsibility to love our families well. To look at Scripture and see the things in there that tells us how to behave and treat others. And we would apply it to